My guest at this time is Joe Miller. You may remember him as the Republican nominee for U.S. Senate in Alaska in the year 2010, a Tea Party favorite. But he's also broken some news lately through WorldNet Daily that has a lot of people raising their eyebrows. And that is a plan that, if not reversed, would cede some of the Aleutian Islands up in Alaska to the Russians. Not only would it cede them the land, but also cede them the rights to explore the great amount of resources, particularly oil, underneath those islands and underneath the Bering Sea. And Joe, thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
This is not something that's all that new, although this current State Department has the opportunity to reverse it. Explain how this all got started.
Well, you know, it got started in secret, so there's not a lot of transparent information out there as to what exactly happened during the negotiation that probably initiated sometime in the 1980s. Rumor has it Kissinger had a role, but what we do know is that the State Department ultimately made a decision that maritime boundary needed to be established, and it was agreed to by the executives in Russia, or at the time it was actually USSR. The maritime agreement was actually adopted by the State Department in 1990-91, and that really is pretty much the boundary that the United States has complied with since. The problem is this. It's a treaty, and Russia, where at the time the USSR, never ratified it. Where subsequent to that, the USSR became Russia, and since then, Russia has not ratified either. So it's just like a contract where you got to have two parties agree. This has not happened, so it's an open issue. And as a result of it being an open issue, some people in Alaska, in fact, as recently as 1999, in the legislature, issued a resolution basically condemning the giveaway and saying, look, the State Department needs to get engaged. Really, to be honest, and in your intro kind of covered this, the Clinton administrations and Bush administrations are at fault for this too, but what we have now is a live issue that is not being addressed by the Obama administration either. A lot of resources could be at stake. Clearly, it's property that at one time belonged to Alaska that's been given away, or is in the process of being given away, and we want to stop it.
Joe, this process has played out over more than 20 years' time. Is this something that can be easily reversed unilaterally by us, or how would it actually get reversed?
Well, it's not actually even a reversal that's necessary because there's not an agreement that sets forward that boundary that's been ratified by both countries. So it's not a treaty. It's not ratified until both countries have done it. There is some question as to whether or not even a new agreement would have to be drafted for such ratification to occur because, remember, again, the original agreement was drafted when Russia was the USSR. It didn't get ratified by the USSR. The USSR eventually changed to Russia. So there's one train of thought out there that even if you wanted to have that boundary set in stone, you'd have to have a new agreement. In any event, what needs to happen at this point in time is have the United States and the State Department make it clear to Russia that we're going to comply with the 1867 treaty boundary that puts the Copper Island, the Sea Otter Rock, Sea Lion Rock, all on Alaska's side of the boundary. There is most of your listeners are probably aware that in 1867, for a cost of a little over $7 million, Seward purchased from Russia the Alaskan territory, and Article 1 of that agreement set basically a boundary, and all the Aleutian Islands east of that boundary belong to Alaska. It's pretty clear. In fact, your readers can go to their atlas. The way that the treaty itself reads is that all those Aleutian Islands east of the meridian 193 degrees west belong to the United States or Alaska. So, of course, 193 degrees west is 167 degrees east. That's what will show up on the atlas. You just look for that line, and you'll see that the Copper Island falls east of it. So my position is, look, there's not a treaty out there. There's not a confirmed agreement ratified by both countries. We default back to the 1867 agreement. Now, that doesn't resolve the four islands. There are a total of seven that are at play. There are four islands up north of Siberia, and the claim there doesn't arise through the 1867 purchase. The claim there arises through discovery. In 1881, there were two American ships that discovered and laid claim to those islands. Wrangell Island, which is a huge island, it's about 2,900 square miles. It's bigger than Delaware and Rhode Island combined, was discovered by a Captain Hooper, who was commanding a U.S. Revenue Marine ship called the Thomas Corwin. Also that same year, 1881, the USS Jeannette, a Navy ship commanded by DeLong, discovered the Henrietta, Bennett, and Jeanette Islands. Again, the logbooks of that particular captain reflect, again, the claim that was laid. We just heard, I was on the radio this morning here in Alaska, and we just, a couple of callers called in and said that there were actually Alaskans on Wrangel Island, and at one point in time, this is before the Soviet Union became Russia, they'd actually been captured by Soviets and incarcerated for a period of time. We have not yet confirmed that story, but I've heard similar things even before that radio interview, but we'd like to get to the bottom of it because, you know, the inhabitation of the island would even give a stronger claim. But, you know, the short of it is, you know, there is no treaty that establishes the boundary, at least in the Aleutians, other than the 1867 treaty, and it clearly establishes a copper, sea otter rock, sea lion rock along the United States.
Joe, just a quick couple of follow-ups before we let you go. First of all, what do we know about the amount of explorable energy underneath these islands?
Well, we know that the Chukchi Sea, for example, which is not in close proximity to these islands, but has, you know, by the USGS's estimate, billions of barrels of recoverable crude. And, you know, the whole of Alaska is just a resource-rich area. It seems like that every time that we survey an area, particularly those shallow seabeds outside of islands in Alaska, that we find more and more mineral wealth. So even though I can't point you to a direct survey that tells you how much these resources are worth, we wouldn't be surprised to see that there would be billions and billions of dollars worth of recoverable assets that are associated with these particular islands. And I just think it's a ridiculous concept that, you know, when you've got a treaty such as the 1867 treaty that sets forth a clear boundary, that we'd be giving away islands. You know, and let me mention this too. You know, when this got negotiated, this was the height of the Cold War. And so there were reasons behind trying to create less friction with the USSR. And at the time, of course, you know, some of these resource discoveries had not been made in Alaska. There might not have been an understanding or an appreciation for the resource value that was being given up. Anyway, we're at the point today, different dynamic, no ratified treaty. I think we need to insist upon the rights that we have under the 1867 treaty and also relook at those islands north of Siberia. This, of course, State Department under the Obama administration has given no indication that it's willing to do so. It's an open live issue. We need to put pressure on those in Congress, put pressure on the Obama administration, so we can get it resolved in a way that gets the land back to Alaska.
Last question before we let you go, Joe. This surprised me quite a bit. Apparently, the state of Alaska and its officials have been given almost no voice in this, correct?
That's right. And in fact, that's what led to that 1999 House resolution. Now, I talked to John Coghill, by the way, who was instrumental in drafting that last night, and he very much still sees this as a live issue, too. Nothing on the ground has changed since then, but not only that legislature, but also the 15th Alaskan legislature complained about not having a seat at the table. When Alaska heard this stuff was being negotiated away, again, not ratified, so it's not a done deal. Remind your listeners of that. Immediately, there were complaints lodged with the federal government that, look, Alaska, this is our territory. We need to have a seat at the table. We should not be ignored in this respect. And yet we have been. There's been no change in the State Department, the federal government's perspective as to whether or not Alaska has a right to sit at the table in the negotiations or the resolution of these islands.
So as long as this stays unresolved, is it currently under Russian control or under American control if nothing else happens?
Well, the de facto boundary right now is that maritime agreement that's not been ratified. And even though there is no evidence of any type of military installations, at least on the Aleutian Islands, you know, the way that it's been treated by the State Department since 1991 is that it's under Russian control. There, as far as I know, has not been any resource extraction that's been conducted. In other words, you know, if the de facto control were returned, as I think it should be under, you know, the de jure declaration of the 1867 treaty, there wouldn't have to be any type of, you know, deconstruction of capital improvements or transfer of any type of, you know, oil derricks or anything like that. So we're right now at a point where it could be done without a whole lot of heartache. But, you know, we wait too much longer, even though there's not a ratified treaty, you know, turning the clock forward 100 years. You know, time elapses, the claim grows stronger. And it's time for, especially since there's not a ratified treaty out there, for the State Department to sit up and say, look, you know, this isn't right. These clearly are lands that, under the 1867 treaty, belong to Alaska. We need to relook at these islands as well, north of Siberia, that we've got a historic claim to. Let's get this resolved in a way that obviously does not infringe upon the sovereign rights of Alaska.
Joe, we'll have to leave it there. Thanks so much for bringing it to our attention.
Appreciate it. Thank you for your time.
Joe Miller was the Republican nominee for U.S. Senate in the state of Alaska in the year 2010. He's also the author of a piece on WorldNetDaily.com, WND.com, about this very issue of the maritime border between Alaska and Russia. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.